And we are recording.
Steve, you're muted.
Thank you, David. Yeah. Okay. I'll call the March 17th, 2021 meeting of the Derry Township Zoning Hearing Board. I'll call the meeting to order. I want to make everyone aware that it is and has been the policy of Derry Township to record meetings for the purpose of accurate notes and posting on the township website. This meeting is being recorded for those purposes. David, would you please give the announcement about using Zoom and the notices that were issued?
Yeah, absolutely. Derry Township, in response to the COVID-19 pandemic, has switched all township related business to virtual settings such as Zoom. We have continued to advertise. We have continued to advertise in the local papers and through the website. And in those advertisements, we include the Zoom link as well as my email should there be any questions.
Thank you, David. All right, I'll do a roll call of the Zoning Hearing Board members. Mike Angelo.
Present.
Sandy Ballard.
Oh, here.
Dean Morgan.
Here.
Lindsay Drew.
Present.
And Steve Seidel, that's me. I'm here also. So we're all here and counted for. Okay. You know, there was one. We'll move on to approval of the minutes from last month's meeting. I had noted one change that I believe was made, David and Janelle made. That was the time that we adjourned last time. Minor.
Yes.
David had us working an extra hour last month. So so other than that, I don't think there were any other changes from what was sent out as a draft. Is that correct?
I'll be abstaining because I was not present.
Okay, thanks. And I think, Dean, I think you weren't there as well, correct?
That's correct.
We'll have a motion to approve the minutes from the February 17th, 2021 meeting.
So moved.
Thank you, Sandy.
Second.
Thank you, Mike. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, that motion passes unanimously. Okay, so we have old business. We have two continued hearings tonight. And so we can get started with the first one, which is hearing in the case of the McNaughton Company, case number 2020-18. This was started at the January meeting. There was a hearing and then a continuance was requested that was approved at our last meeting in February. So let me ask anybody who will be speaking for McNaughton if you would please identify yourself and we need to swear you in.
Yeah, hi, my name's Joel McNaughton. I'm with the McNaughton Company and I'll be presenting on behalf of the applicant tonight.
Did court reporter, did you get his name?
Yes, I did.
Thank you. Okay, would you please raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Is there anybody else who will be testifying?
No.
All right, you can proceed then.
Okay, thank you for having us back here tonight. I'll give a quick summary of where we were. We're the equitable owners of a lot on Lucy Avenue. That's north of Route 422. The property is located in the general commercial zoning district and is currently vacant. It's in a neighborhood that's known as Sipe City, which was created by an unrecorded plan of lots in 1952. The subject property where the cursor is pointed right now, based on a field boundary survey, is 50 feet wide by 100 feet, or 150 feet deep, I'm sorry. And is currently vacant. We're proposing to construct a single family detached dwelling on the lot. Single family detached dwellings are a permitted use in the commercial general zoning district. However, the commercial general zoning district has two criteria, lot dimensional criteria, which we cannot meet and for which we're requesting a variance. The first is the commercial general zoning district requires a 100 foot minimum lot width. Again, we have 50 feet total available for use. And the second is the commercial general zoning district requires a minimum side yard setback of 15 feet. If you'd apply the 15 foot side yard setback to each side of the lot, the 50 foot lot, you'd render a total building area of 20 feet in width, which is too narrow to construct a single family detached house. Our initial request that we presented in January was for relief from the minimum lot width and the minimum side yard setback. We were requesting a minimum lot width of 50 feet, which is exactly what we have available, and a minimum side yard setback of 5 feet. Subsequent, we learned a couple things. The first was it was our understanding that this lot was always a vacant lot, which was not the case. There was a house at one point located on the lot. We went back and did some research through some essentially Google historical photos. It looks like at least as recently as February of 2004, the house was standing. By October of 2008, which is the next clear photo, the house is demolished. When you look at the, use the measuring tool in Google Earth, the house that existed on the lot was about 46 feet wide, give or take, on the 50 foot lot. So it utilized very narrow side yard setbacks. We also understood that the zoning hearing board perhaps thought that our request for minimum side yard setback going down to 5 feet was maybe more than the minimum necessary to construct a house on the lot. So we sort of took some time to rethink our proposal and do a little bit more research on the existing neighborhood. In that connection, if you take a look at this map, what we did is we analyzed the existing 39 homes that are currently located in the what's called the Sipe City area. Dwellings in the neighborhood currently range from about 40 or 26 feet wide to about 70, maybe even as much as 75 feet wide, depending on how you measure them. So there's a wide range of house widths on these lots that go anywhere from 50 to 60 to sometimes as much as 100 feet wide. And on average, the houses in this neighborhood, if you take all the houses and the width of them and divide them out, the average width of the house in the neighborhood is 41.14 feet, which seemed to, you know, comport with our original request, but, you know, it didn't really get us anywhere with regard to a modification of something less than a 5 foot side yard setback. So what we focused on through that analysis was the narrow end of the spectrum. So we took a look at, you know, what are the narrowest homes that exist within the neighborhood? And also trying to meet our goal, and I think the township's goal and requirement, quite frankly, to provide for adequate off-street parking in the form of both a garage and a driveway. So the narrowest homes in the area are in the 26 feet wide neighborhood, we just cannot build anything 26 feet wide and still have, you know, what I'll call a real two-car garage and a real two-car driveway. So we went as close as we could to the narrowest that's available. And what we're proposing now is a house that would be 28 feet wide. With a 28-foot wide house, we would be asking for relief to provide for an 11-foot side yard setback, 11 feet each side. So, and with that relief, we can still provide a home that would have a two-car garage integral to the house and a driveway that would have space for two cars, you know, side by side. So adequate off-street parking, which I think is a benefit, something that a lot of the homes in that area don't have. If you're interested, I think the next slide is a little bit of a layout. This would be a two-story house. All the bedrooms are on the second floor. The first floor includes your kitchen, laundry, again, and a two-car garage. And then there's three bedrooms on the second floor, including another two full baths on the second floor. So it's a total of 2.5 baths, three bedrooms, two-car garage, two-car driveway, 28 feet wide, which is, you know, the narrowest that we can do anything and still provide those features. I did send to Dave, you know, a little bit of an elevation view. It took us some time to design this, so I didn't have it in time for the original, but this is essentially what the house would look like from the front. Again, two-story, you know, pretty traditional house, the two-car garage, which we think is critical. And again, 28 feet wide. So the requested relief would be for an 11-foot side yard setback versus the 15 that's required, or and the 5 feet that we previously requested. I can go through if you'd like. I mean, I think we did last time, the five criteria necessary for the grant of the variance and how we believe this application complies. If the record from before is sufficient in that regard, I'm fine to leave that record stand. Or if you'd like for us to go through it again, we can do that. But I think specifically with regard to the criteria that the least modification possible to the regulation at use, I think this modified proposal really was intended to kind of beef up that prong of our request, if you will, and the 11-foot side yard setback is the most minimum that we can do and still provide a reasonable single family detached home on the lot.
I would say, Megan, unless you correct me, I would say that the prior hearing and testimony that was provided, you know, is still part of the record, and unless there's other board members that specifically want you to address any of those points further, that record would stand. Megan, am I correct in that?
Yes, you can incorporate the prior testimony into the record for today's hearing.
Okay, so
that would be my preference.
So if you're done, then I'll just ask other board members if any of them want to hear something further or have questions. Are you ready for questions then?
Yes.
Okay. Open it up to the board.
I have a question or clarification, and I do appreciate the applicant's efforts to reconsider and look at the different options available. And because you're under oath and, you know, maybe being a lawyer, I take that kind of seriously, but you did mention that 20 feet was too narrow to construct a home, and I might've gotten that wrong, but a single family home, sorry. And I just want to clarify that you're not saying that it is physically impossible to construct a 20-foot house, are you?
Well, I mean, it's not physically impossible to do almost anything, but for us to be able to provide, you know, for adequate off-street parking integral to the house, we don't have any designs in our repertoire that we can build as a standalone single-family detached home that are 20 feet wide. You know, you sometimes see townhomes, attached homes, 20 feet wide with a one-car garage. You know, but in my experience, I've been, you know, in around for some time, and we've never built anything close to 20 feet as a standalone single family detached home with a two-car garage.
Right. I just wanted to clarify. I mean, in terms of your statement that it is physically possible. It's just that not something that you've been familiar with or that is a standard in the industry. That's fine. I just like to make sure people are clear in what they're saying.
Hey, Joel, I appreciate you going back and relooking at this as well. As I'm looking at the map, is it safe to say that the lots that most most similar to yours would be, I guess it'd be lots 1, 2, 9, 10, 28, 29, 30, 31. Is that a fair assessment?
I think so. You know, there's sort of a smattering of lot sizes, if you will, in this plan. I mean, some of these homes, 28, 29, 30, and 31, those are actually duplex units. So those are attached on the, 30 and 31 are attached, and 28 and 29 are attached.
Okay.
Lot numbers 11 and 12, for example, at least based on the tax map, those two homes are on the same piece of property. You know, there's some lots that start to push in excess of 100 feet. There's others that are 50 and 60 feet. There's just a wide range of lot sizes in this community.
Yeah, I was just eyeballing it. And I just picked out 6 or 7 lots. And as I did, it looked like, ones I looked at, the homes ranged anywhere from, I got a high of 39 and all the way down to 29. So yours is where? 30,
where's 28, yours? 28 where's feet.
28 feet, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Joel, Dean Morgan here. I got a question for you. With respect to this garage, is that a two-car garage?
Yes.
Okay. And you went out and inspected this area. My recollection, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that it's not really feasible to have on-street parking for the resident here. Is that correct?
That's definitely our opinion. The street doesn't seem to be one where you'd want to promote on-street parking. So our focus was one to provide more than adequate off-street parking.
Okay. And part of that, the reason there is because that's a, for lack of a better term, that's a shortcut between two major streets. Is that right? I think we've heard some concerns about that.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true. It's a shortcut type street. And, you know, you can see, I didn't measure the width of the road, but you can see it there on the screen. I would guess it's something in the neighborhood of, you know, 20 to 24 feet, maybe at the most.
So in this case, it's really not just a matter of convenience. It's a matter of necessity to have a two-car garage there. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I have no further questions for you.
Oh, I have just one just quick clarification, my minor point. The lot plan, the site plans that you have show a little different layout than the floor plans. Is that just because the floor plans are a mirror image?
Yeah, so it was flipped. It's a mirror image. The floor plan would be for a garage, what we'd call garage right home. We thought this house set up better for a garage left. So at the time of, at the time of building permit application, the plan that would be submitted would be one that would mirror the site plan, which would be a garage left.
I just wanted you to confirm that the floor plan was in fact the floor type of floor plan that you're intending with it to our garage.
Yes.
Site plan, but just, okay, thank you. Anyone else, any other board members have questions? Okay. Is there anyone from the public who wishes to speak?
Thank you, Steve. We have two public attendees, John Milken and Tom DeDonatis, and neither have a hand raised.
And then, Megan, what's the appropriate way to address the email comments that we received?
We can incorporate them by reference, and then the board can decide what, if any, weight they want to give those emails.
Okay, and is Joel aware of that email?
Is it the one, there was one that was submitted at the original hearing? Is it the same one?
Same party, but I think a new email.
No, I'm not aware of any additional email. Just the one that was kind of, I believe at the last hearing, someone sort of summarized the concerns that were set forth in the original email. And based on what I heard, we agreed to permit that into the record from our end, not object to it being entered into the record, but I'm not aware of the existence of a second email concern.
Again, what's the appropriate way to handle that? It should at least be considered in the record since it was submitted. Do we provide a copy of that to Mr. McNaughton, or how does that work?
Yes, I would recommend that it be submitted into the record, especially with the COVID protocols with the Act allowing for public participation through written comment. And I would suggest that staff forward a copy to Mr. McNaughton. It reiterates the comments from the first email. So he should be provided with a copy of that.
Any objections from any board members?
If you can give me just a moment to review this, that way I can make sure I can ask a question if necessary. I don't want to put Mr. McNaughton in a circumstance where he's not completely aware of what's in this, nor is there anything that hasn't been asked.
I agree, Dean. And I mean, if we need to read it, we'll read it, but go ahead.
If you could just give me one moment, if anyone else has any questions, please feel free to ask. If not, if I could just have your indulgence for a second.
Could you just reference the date of the correspondence you were talking about as the second one? Because I only had the initial one.
Yeah, Lindsay, the one I'm talking about is an email that was sent to David as directed by the, the posting on the township website on March 9th. of 2021.
Andy, you're muted.
And that was forwarded to you, Lindsay.
That's what I'm just trying to find.
I'm sorry, Chuck, can you tell us when it was sent to the board? The date of that?
It was the same day, Sandy. It was
March 9th at 7:30 a.m.
There you go. Thank you very much, Dean.
And for the record, I've reviewed this correspondence. I believe that the questions that we have asked are consistent with what we would need to consider for this. And in general, this appears to be correspondence about general information about the general commercial district. I don't have any further questions based upon my review of the letter for Mr. McNaughton.
Any other questions from any board members?
I have no further questions.
Anything else, Mr. McNaughton?
No, I have nothing additional. Thank you for having us here again tonight and for everyone's time.
Well, thank you. So just to remind you, same as last time you were here, the board has 45 days to render a decision, and then you have 30 days thereafter to appeal it if you
having trouble hearing you. Steve, you're not coming out at all.
I'm not. Oh, are you hearing me any better now?
You
know. I'm sorry. I guess I needed to be a little closer to the microphone. I'm sorry. So the board has 45 days to render a decision. And if you are agreed by that decision, then you have 30 days to appeal that.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll move on then to our second hearing tonight, which is in the case of Kevin and Heather Hollenbush, case number 2021-01. Who do we have tonight from the applicant?
Kevin Hollenbush is on.
Okay, Kevin, is there anyone else who's going to be testifying tonight for you?
Yes, Randy Wright, Hanover Engineering.
Okay, thank you. If you both would please raise your right hand. And do you swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. Yes, sir.
Thank you. All right, you can proceed.
All right, thank you. I'm going to take the lead, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for having us tonight. The property that we're dealing with this evening, and I will, as I announced to Chuck Emmerich, this is my first Zoom presentation, so bear with me. I'm used to standing in front of people and pointing to a plan. So we're on the west side of Church Road, about 900 feet south of McCorkle Road. It's a 2.7 acre parcel that we see on this aerial map that Chuck has pulled up. Chuck or Dave has pulled up. Thank you. In the conservation zoning district. As you can see, it's obviously a long and narrow lot, approximately 118 feet wide, but just over 1,000 feet long. I will also point out in the northwest corner of the property is a power line easement of 80 feet with poles and line running through there. The property is served by private on-lot water. There's no public water out there, but there is public sewer located in Church Road. And again, as you can see by the aerial map, the vast majority of the property is fairly heavily wooded. Our request tonight involves two particular issues of your zoning ordinance. One is side yard setbacks. I believe 225-303, if I'm not mistaken.
There's some kind of strange static. I don't know whose line it's coming from, but it's kind of distracting.
Yeah, I'm having trouble as well.
Okay.
Maybe if you're not speaking, we can go on mute.
Okay, is that better?
I think it's coming from his end.
From my end.
Yeah, I think it's from Randy's end.
Okay.
Well, what can we...
Don't know what to change for that, but we'll keep going. The second part of our request had to do with the disturbance of sensitive environmental areas, and that's particular to slopes over 20%. And that's our letter amending. We were obviously here last month and added the disturbance of the slope areas to our request, hence our continuation from last month to this month for the hearing. And Chuck or David, if you could pull up the zoning exhibit, please. There we go. There it is. Nice view of the whole property. The zoning exhibit shows, I'm sorry, back up a second. Our proposed goal here is obviously the construction of a new single family house on the property with driveway access to the church road. You can see that depicted on the zoning exhibit, as well as setback lines as currently are required by the conservation district, as well as all the areas that are shaded that are over 20% in slope. I'd like to touch on the setbacks first, if I can. In the conservation district, this particular property is required to have 50-foot side yard setbacks, and that's front, rear, and both sides, which again are depicted on the exhibit. That leaves us approximately 18 feet down through the middle of the site to comply with the building setbacks. Normally in the conservation district, we would look to the lot exemption criteria, which would lessen the setbacks, but that criteria is applied to lots that are
hearing you.
Yeah, do you have a different mic or a different way to, your connection seems wrong or something, right?
I'm sorry, I'm trying to take down a record. I can't.
I understand that.
It might be your microphone. It just sounds
like are you using the mic through the computer, using the audio through the computer, or are you dialed in separately?
I'm using it through the computer, I believe.
You are. Do you have your email and maybe can try the dial in? Just stay on so we can see you. Mute your computer on your mic on the computer.
Hold on, Chuck. Does it matter what number I use?
Nope. But I'm pretty sure that your computer is possessed. That's what it sounds like on this end.
Yeah, I need my meeting ID. Can you give that to me?
Yes, give me one second. Meeting ID, webinar ID is 827.
Hold on, 827. Go ahead.
5790.
Yep.
5320.
Chuck, before we get too far into this, I do want to note that Mr. Hoover has joined. He is the one who sent the letter regarding the last case. I don't know what procedure would be here, being that we moved on, but I wanted to make the board aware that Keith Hoover has joined the Zoom meeting.
Megan, I took all the off the record, all of the discussions regarding the microfax. Is that okay? I figured in here.
I'm sorry,
Randy's got a mute.
Megan, I took off the discussion. I'm just going to put discussion held off the record regarding the microphone issue. But I did take down what David said about Mr. Hoover.
Yes, I think that would be appropriate.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry about that. I was just having trouble hearing him. I can't make a record with words missing.
Sure.
Megan, there's we've completed the hearing and the application of McNaught and Company. I'm not aware of any procedure for reopening that hearing. Is that correct?
Yes, I think the hearing has been adjourned at this point. So it wouldn't be appropriate to take any further testimony.
Thank you.
Just to confirm, was the attendee able to access the Zoom without being permissioned in until afterwards? I just want to make sure someone wasn't like in the waiting room. And that was what prevented them from being able to testify.
No, he would have been in the room.
Okay,
Randy. If you can unmute on your phone.
Can anybody hear me?
There we go.
That's
on your computer.
Oh shoot. Okay.
Okay.
No. Can't you talk through your phone? I thought we were dialing in.
Yes, I'm on my phone.
Okay, can you turn off your mic on the computer?
If you hit *9, that typically will unmute you on the phone.
Thank
star
you.
*9.
I was looking for that on the internet.
I was thinking if you just...
Or *6. It's either *9 or *6. I'm sorry, I'm trying to go off memory.
If he turns his volume off on his computer, but leaves and speaks through his phone and unmutes the computer.
Oh, huh.
I'm wondering if that's how we have sometimes done it.
I believe it's *6.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think *9 might have been raise hand because now his hand's raised. So if you do *6. Okay.
There we go.
You're off mute now.
Fuck.
Nothing yet, Randy, but you are off mute.
Is your phone volume turned down?
I can hear you guys.
There we go.
There we go. We're good.
I can hear you guys. You can hear me.
You got it.
Fantastic.
Could I ask you to turn your volume down on your computer now? Turn your computer volume down.
Oh, I haven't muted. Off.
No, the computer. The volume on your keyboard.
We hear you twice through feedback.
Yeah, I know. I've got that too.
I don't see a volume.
Is your phone on speaker? Randy, is your phone on speaker or not?
Come on. Take it off speaker.
It was. It is not now.
Give it one more go. Go ahead and try it again.
Try it again.
How's this?
On the upper left corner that looks like a funnel, sideways funnel. Those are your volume keys.
I do have an older computer.
How about in the lower right-hand corner of your screen? Do you have, again, it looks like a sideways funnel typically. Yeah. Volume control that you can click on and turn your volume all the way down while you're speaking, at least.
Well, unless.
Hang on.
You can't resolve this. I think you're going to have to.
How's that?
We're still getting an echo. So
my suggestion would be just have Randy turn off his computer. And just do the presentation as if we were there in his living room.
Yeah.
And, okay. And speak on the phone, and then David or Chuck will do their best to pull up whatever it is that you're referencing.
I agree.
Great idea.
So, Mr. Wright, if you could please then leave the. Stay on the phone and leave the in the lower right hand corner of your screen.
Yep.
Leave the Zoom meeting and just do this by audio, please, through your phone. And David will try to, and Chuck will try to navigate the exhibits that you want to talk about so on the screen so we can see them.
Okay. How's this?
Perfect.
Everyone can hear me. I can't see you guys, but that's okay.
It's great.
Ready to continue?
Yes.
Okay. I think we were at setbacks. I apologize for that. And the lot exemption criteria, which we would normally look at in a situation like this, but this lot is more than 2 acres, which throws us back to the base zoning. Hence, we have the setback lines, required setbacks shown at 50 feet. The proposed house is roughly a 60 by 60 foot footprint, as you see on the exhibit, located near the top of the hill, top of the ridge. And we are proposing a 15 foot setback on the, I'll say, northeast corner of the house. This setback matches the setback that would be allowed under the exemption criteria. It also allows us approximately 38 feet on the southwest side for the garage access and turning area to get into the garage. As far as setbacks go, let me ask the board or Chuck, if there are any questions.
So Randy, just so I'm clear, the lot is 118 feet wide. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And so in other words, you'd have an 18 foot building pocket if you were to follow the letter of the law. Is that right? 50 feet on each side?
Yes, that is correct.
And how big is this house? What is the square footage of this home?
Well, like I said, the footprint is approximately 3,600 square feet. That includes the garage space, of course. I do not know the actual, if you're talking about the living space in the house, I don't have that off the top of my head, but the footprint is roughly 60 foot wide and 60 foot deep.
It's roughly 2,200 square feet of living space.
Thank you, Kevin.
Okay.
I have a question. I didn't hear any of the hardship criteria being covered. If, how are you going to handle that, Randy?
What I'd like to do, Sandy, is run through the slope issues again, and then we'll get down to the justification and hardship stuff.
Okay.
Unless you want to handle it now.
Well, I think in some respect you did. I mean, the physical circumstances of the lot, the unique.
Wait, Mike, hold on. Let's just let him continue then. That's fine.
Okay. All right, let's talk about slopes and disturbance of 20% slopes. On the zoning exhibit, what we have shaded are all the areas that are over 20% slopes on the property. They total, I'm gonna round off some numbers, they total about 1.6 acres of the whole property, or roughly 60% of the lot being over 20%. I have a note here to mention that the non-shaded areas, the white areas that you see on the lot, I just wanna make sure the board understands those areas are not flat. They are simply not over 20%. Most of those slopes are within 10, in the range of 10 to 20% slope. So because of access off of Church Road and because of sewer service being provided on Church Road, we have kind of elected to set the house on the, what I'm going to call the top of the ridge. You can see by the contours, the house is just a little bit south of the actual ridge of the contours. And that creates a situation where we are disturbing the shaded slope areas that we have cross-hatched in the pink lines, which total, and again, I'm going to round the number off to 2,300 square feet. That's the total area that this scheme for the house footprint disturbs in the 20% slope areas. That's roughly 0.05 acres, 0.05, half of a tenth of an acre, or approximately 3% of the total slopes on the site that are over 20% are proposed to be disturbed in this particular location. If you look at other options, and again, we're focused on now areas where the house could be located in the areas that aren't shaded. Much of the area to the left or to the northwest is covered, included in the electric easement, of course, which can't be there. Again, because of access and sewer service, if we get down over the ridge, we not only build more driveway, but also have actually sewer pumping to get back to the sewer lines on Church Road. I think the exhibit actually makes it pretty clear that for this lot, the house location and the driveway access that's shown is the best location and probably the best solution to minimize the slope disturbance. Any other location on the site, I would think, would at least equal, if not exceed, the 2,300 square feet of slope disturbance that we are proposing. And I have in my notes to stop for questions now. Question from the board or the staff.
I have a question. So the 2,300 feet of disturbance is just the slopes greater than 20% that are related to the footprint of the structure. Is that correct? It does not include disturbance along the way there, access road or driveway.
Yeah, that is correct. Your ordinance does allow the 20% slopes to be disturbed for driveways and for utilities. Utilities include stormwater, which we have a conceptual solution on here. And of course, we have the driveway shown. Those two features can disturb the 20% slope. It's the house footprint and the grading for the house that we're focused on.
I wanted to clarify the numbers. Thank you.
Any other questions? Hearing none, I would like to bring up one, I guess I call it a public concern. Mr. Minkin, John and Heidi Minkin, own the property to the north, immediately adjacent to the northeast of this lot. I believe Mr. Minkin had submitted some comments with concerns about runoff and stormwater, which are valid questions, given the slope of the area. I would suggest that our location, most of the stormwater management is going to be handled between the house and Church Road. We envision only a small portion, no more than half of the roof area of the house would be handled on the northwest side of the ridge in a stormwater trench, but most of the house, all of the driveway get handled by stormwater management area down by Church Road. That is certainly not a zoning question. The next step in our process, assuming that we get favorable review from the board tonight, is a stormwater management plan. That plan will specifically address the runoff and detailed calculations of how that's handled. So I'm fairly comfortable that we're minimizing the amount of runoff going down towards Mr. Minkin, and what runoff is going in that direction will be properly handled to meet the township stormwater regulations. I don't know if Mr. Minkin's on the call or not.
He is in the audience and he has raised his hand if the board would like to entertain him at this time.
Well, I think we're still waiting for some hardship discussion.
Yeah, I think you need to complete at least going through that hardship criteria, complete your test.
Okay.
As far as what you're asking the board to approve and the criteria that is required for the board to approve that.
Okay. If we could then, let's run down through your section 225.107.9. Which are the five criteria for granting variances and findings when these items are relevant. Number one, and I'm sure the board's familiar with these. Number one, unique physical circumstances that include.
One second, please, Mr. Wright. So I we do have the application and we do have that information. So, I mean, you're welcome to provide the testimony in any manner you wish. I mean, we do have the application. Assuming that we've read it, but I think the purpose of is to summarize the information, make sure you covered the main points. You don't necessarily need to read the application into the record because the application.
Okay, sure. Record, so. Sure, I can paraphrase this. I think it's very evident that this property has some unique physical circumstances, both in narrowness of the lot shape and exceptional topography. Both of those are conditions that justify or warrant some relief of the zoning regulations. We think they are both in, both for setbacks and for slopes. To follow up with that, because of those circumstances, we see an 18-foot building area. We see fairly limited areas of constructability to stay out of the slopes. We do not think there's any possibility that the property can be developed in strict conformance with the ordinance, and hence we find the variances necessary for the reasonable use. Conditions were certainly presented to us by the site conditions and are not created by the applicant. as far as the essential character of the neighborhood, I would present that most of the newer homes out in this area, a lot of the lots are exactly like this. They're steep, wooded. Over the years, people have, you know, carved in their space and driveways and homes. You can see some of the Minkin property, the Minkin house, which is, I'm going to say, roughly about the same footprint as what's proposed. Obviously, many of the older homes are smaller, but I do think this proposal does fit in with the character of the neighborhood and being residential, and does not impair the use of any of the adjacent properties. Lastly, we do believe that what's being requested is fairly minimal, and the least modification possible, both in regards to setbacks with the 15-foot minimum setback on one side and the disturbance of the slopes, which is, again, only 3% of the steep slopes that we see on the property. We would list those as our description of justification and hardship.
Is it time for questions?
Yes, okay,
I'll ask the question then. So you believe this is the minimum variance that will allow you to build a house here?
Yes, we do.
The minimum, that there can be no different layout or size of home. Maybe you didn't understand. I'm just saying, is it possible to build a different size of home on this lot?
It clearly would be possible. I don't believe it's possible to build a house within the setback lines as they currently exist. And I do believe that if you minimize the disturbance of the slopes, regardless of the size of the house, you are going to be probably disturbing the same 2,300 square feet that we are intending to disturb now with this proposal.
Thank you.
I mean, I can speak to the character of the neighborhood. This is pretty close to my neighborhood.
Mike, you have a question, or I don't think you provide testimony here, but do you have a question?
No, if you'll let me speak, please.
Okay, go ahead.
So to the character of the neighborhood, I was going to say and this is where my question will come in, is just up the street, I believe there was a house that was constructed. When I first saw this case, I wasn't sure how close that was to yours. So I looked at that home, and I was going to ask a question. Do you know the home that is being built? I believe it's a couple of lots up from yours. I don't know. It looked like a pretty big house to me. I mean, in summary, I guess what I'm saying, I have two questions. One, do you know who built that house, and do you know anything about it? It looks like a big house. Do you know how big it is? And two, just for my own knowledge, can you put in perspective what a 20% grade is? In other words, for every X number of feet, what is the drop in terms of slope?
If I can respond to that, a 20% slope for every 10-foot horizontal, it rises, hope I have this right on the top of my head, it rises 2 feet. For every 10 foot, it goes up 2. So for every 100 feet, it goes up 20. That is the kind of slope we're talking about.
I'll nix the other part of my question. But here, I guess,
I would like to answer your other question.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I have that plan in front of me. That home is being built by Todd and, I don't remember his wife's name, Leck Leitner. Gerald Musser is their builder. And their stormwater management plan, which sits in front of me, ironically enough, shows a house that's approximately 60 foot wide and 65 foot deep. So in comparison, that house is very close to what the Holland Butchers are proposing to construct. Plus the Lechleitner property has a detached garage on it of that's 20 by 30 feet.
Okay. I guess another question I have is just in general, when you're looking at a walkout basement, for example, that's why I was asking about the 20% slope. So tell me what that is. It's 20 feet per 10 feet per 100 or 20, did you say 20 feet per 100 feet? Is that right, Brandon?
20 foot of drop in 100 feet of distance, or to break it down a little tighter, 2 foot of drop in 10 foot of distance.
Okay. So for some perspective, just a standard walkout basement on average, if you were to look at a home in town, someone wanted to put a walkout basement, what kind of slope in general would we be looking at there?
What, you mean to get down to the walkout?
Yes.
Oh, oftentimes those are cut down pretty hard. So I would refer to that as a 3-to-1 slope, or a 33% slope is what we see sometimes to get down to that basement level. So they can be cut down pretty hard.
Okay. I'm just trying to get
Sure. Megan, I couldn't hear what you said. Could you repeat that, please?
I'm sorry. Was there testimony that there will be a walkout basement in this case?
I didn't.
No, in fact, I think I can answer that for Mr. Hollenbusch, that we have looked at the possibility of a walkout basement here. It would involve much more excavation because we're on the top of the ridge. I think I with confidence can say that they have eliminated that possibility in this site. So there will not be a walkout basement on this proposal.
That's correct.
Mike, do you have other questions? I know I have some questions. I don't know if other board members do.
No.
Other board members have questions?
I just have a couple, Steve. Thank you. So I just wanted to confirm as well. So this lot is currently under a sales agreement, and this is a condition of the sale for that. So are you testifying that without these variances, the development intended on the lot could not be achieved and therefore the sale would not go through?
I believe that is a correct statement.
That's accurate, yes.
Okay. Thank you. For the purpose of transparency and full disclosure, I do want to just make note as a board member that I was contacted by the realtor who represents the seller for this property that has it listed. But she was contacting me on behalf of the buyer and indicated that the applicants did not know anyone on the zoning board, wanted to reach out. I explained to her that the board is quasi-judicial, that any, you know, conversation could not happen. But I don't believe that she did it with any, you know, intentions that were ill-intended, but I did, for the purpose of full transparency to the board, want to let everyone know that I was contacted by phone and email, but I do not feel that it presents any conflict of interest or influence on my decision-making tonight.
Steve, you're muted.
Dean, did you have any questions? Thank you, Lindsay. Dean, do you have any questions?
No, I have no questions.
I have a couple questions, Mr. Wright. And this is more to the point of minimum relief. So did you look at any other options, for example, bringing the driveway and the entrance to the garage, bringing that in from the front and straightening that out such that the house could be situated not so close to a side property line and having less relief there, or shifting the house towards Church Road in the area that is showing in white on your drawing here, where it still maybe disturbed the same amount of slope, you'd shorten up the driveway a bit and move it kind of off the top of the hill where your drainage is going to go both ways, and instead all that drainage would go down to Church Road and to the stormwater facilities you're showing there. So those are just maybe a few of the things that I'm wondering whether they were considered and or other variations of this plan.
We looked at, and really this layout has all to do with access and slope. We looked at a few other options on the configuration of the driveway. Mind you, it's basically an elevation at the top and elevation at the bottom. And how do you connect those two points? A front entry driveway would have to be much flatter right in front of the house, which in essence shortens the amount of driveway length that we have to extend. That difference in elevation as possible. We do have some restrictions, again, township ordinance driven, for leveling areas down at the bottom, understandably. But after meeting those, we're trying to come up as quick as possible. The side entry garage does allow us to take full advantage of the length of the driveway to try to keep the driveway slope as reasonable as possible. So we're almost purposely taking that side entry approach so we can present the best solution as far as the driveway slopes go.
Steve, I have one more question. In reviewing the application, I noticed it does not state what the specific relief on the setbacks footage wise is that's requested. I understand you're seeking relief from the minimum setbacks, but what is the specific on either side?
Well, I mentioned that earlier, but the specific setback on the northeast side is 15 feet. And with this house, then the southwest setback ends up to be, I believe, third. Let me look at my notes here. It ends up to be 38 feet. So it's about a 25, if you want to think about averages, it's about a 25 foot average, 15 on one side, 38 on the other.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm looking more, I guess, just for the specific so that in any, you know, determination, it can be clearly stated what relief is or is not granted. So it's 15 feet relief from the 50 foot requirement on the northeast side.
No, I think it's 35, isn't it? He's asking for 35 feet on that side.
Oh, well, if you think about relief, yes, we're asking the 50 foot setback to be reduced to 15.
Okay, so a 35 foot variance on.
Put it another way, right? It is 35 foot reduction in the setback on the northeast side, and a 12 foot reduction on the southwest side.
So 35 feet of relief on the northeast setback, 12 feet of relief on the southwest setback.
That is correct.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Okay. So any members of the public that are on that would like to testify? If so, please raise your hand.
John Minkin has his hand raised and I will allow him to talk.
Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm sorry, yeah, before we start, Mr. Minkin, before you start, I need to swear you in.
Oh, okay.
So that you're on the record. If you raise your right hand, please.
Okay.
You swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay, thank you. Can I proceed?
Yeah. Okay, I believe you received my email note where I expressed my concern about the stormwater issue and rain runoff. And Mr. Wright addressed that a little bit. And it is my understanding that the primary purpose of this meeting is to address the setback issues and the 20% slope disturbance issue. Am I correct in assuming that should you grant the variances, then the next phase in the process would be detailed site plans and stormwater management plans and the like? Anybody?
Yes, that's correct. The board is acting on those two items that you mentioned, and you know the board though can also attach conditions to any approval that we give. So we want to hear your concerns, whether it'll be addressed at this stage or at a future stage in the process.
Yeah. Thank you. As you can see from the topographic diagrams before you, the slope, in front of the proposed house, and certainly the slopes in behind and to the northeast of the house, very, very steep. I know you heard an explanation in terms of how many foot rise in so many feet, but when you really walk it, and I just walked it a few hours before this meeting, it's extremely steep, and any water that comes off of the house, even if partially, or any of the areas that's going to be cleared and graded, if that water starts to run down, it's going to run directly to the back of my house. If not only the slope, but also the direction of the way the existing raw wooded area is graded, the natural grades and the natural gullies that exist there, any water from that post property is going to go right into my backyard. I can tell you, I bought the house and I moved in 2007. The Purcells built the house in 2004, I believe. So I had no choice in how my house was situated, but I can tell you that thank God, all the years I've lived there, I've never had a drop of water in my basement. And as long as that can be maintained, then, you know, that's fine with me then. So I would look forward to hopefully seeing the detailed stormwater management plans and also the review by the township engineers. I do want to thank Mr. Hollenbusch. Just so you know, at last month, when the meeting was carried forward, after that meeting, Mr. Hollenbusch was kind enough to reach out to me, right? And he told me what they were planning. And I expressed these same concerns to him at the time. And he was kind enough to send me a diagram, a photo of the plot plan there. But unfortunately, it's just too blurry. So I could not tell any kind of proposed details. You see on your screen now a view of my house, right? And just so you know, there, right directly behind the house, there is a retaining wall, an existing retaining wall, kind of a horseshoe shaped that the original owners put in there. So, you know, I don't have, it's very steeply sloped. So when the plans are made, should you go ahead with this, I would hope to see some indication of what type of grading is proposed for the new building site, and obviously stormwater management, and if it's possible to form any swales that could also naturally intercept any water that might flow towards my property and divert it to the northwest, because that's all just wooded area sloping down to where the power lines are. Thank you.
Does anyone have any questions? Does any board members have any questions for Mr. Macon? I have one other question for the applicant or the applicant's engineer. So we heard some discussion about what a 20% slope is, 2 foot rise in or drop in 10 feet. What is that's the delineation between what's considered a steep slope or environmentally sensitive area in the township ordinance. That's the dividing line. But what is the some of the steeper slopes that you see on this site plan in terms of the closer contours? What is that slope? Are you able to tell us that? Because it's not a 20%, it's greater than 20, I believe, it looks like.
That is true, Mr. Chairman. If I can point the board to the front half, the Church Road half of the property, and I have a scale in my hand, I'm going to say many of those slopes, and I'm just measuring 10-foot contours for ease sake right now, many of those slopes start to approach a 30% slope. So, and that appears to be steeper than the steep slopes, the shaded areas that are on the back side, or the, you know, the northwest side. Those existing grades look like they start to be about 25, maybe close to 30 in that range. So they're fairly similar. Again, the existing grades are a little steeper in the front than they are in the back. Like I said, approaching probably 30% slope.
It sounds like you're saying then that you believe the maximum slope is about 30% on this site.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. Any other questions from the board members or any other? Hold on before I put that out there. Is there any other testimony from Mr. Wright, from you, or from Mr. Hollenbach? Colin Bush, I'm sorry.
Well, if I could, I will just follow up on Mr. Minkin's comments briefly. John, you're absolutely correct. A very detailed stormwater plan follows this with proposed contours, stormwater calculations, how things are sized to meet the ordinance. I've been through many of those with your township engineer, and I know they are very thorough, and I think Chuck would would verify that. Typically, with something like this, we pipe every downspout that comes down the gutters. So none of the gutters splash onto the ground. They are all collected and piped to the stormwater facilities that they're intended to go to. That helps us control the runoff, but also prevents it from hitting the surface. So everything is handled basically underground. That's our intent here. So there's no surface discharge of any sort from the house. So hopefully that addresses one of your concerns that there's runoff coming right down the slope, because Mr. Minkin is quite correct. The slopes do kind of direct everything right to his backyard. And certainly the last thing we want to do is send any water over there that doesn't get there now. So.
And this is Kevin. The only comment I'll make is the slope is for the water is planning most of it to go to the front of the property. There's also a large retention area, if you look at the diagram, at the base of the hill, which I'm assuming will collect most of the runoff that comes off the home or the property.
And that is correct.
It's a commercial like capture, I'd like to add, like you see at Walmart.
Thank you. Anything else?
And if I could, I'd just like to be clear with John. He had his hand raised again. I think it was an accident, but John, if you wanted to speak again, could you raise your hand? I'm going to move him over to be able to talk.
Thank you. You're correct. Before it was an accident. I was just picking up on Kevin's comment now about the stormwater management trenches, I guess, on to the northeast and northwest of the property. And I understand what he said about capturing the water, and it would be below ground and minimize, hopefully eliminate any surface runoff. So my question is, and I guess this will come out in detailed plans, what's the construction road and what happens to the water that goes into these stormwater management trenches? How is that dissipated? Is it absorbed into the ground? Can it cause any type of erosion or runoff underground? That's my question.
Yeah, John, the short answer there is the stormwater ordinance requires us to do testing or verify what we think the subsurface conditions are. So the intent is, yes, those trenches would fill with water, and that water would then seep or soak back down into the ground and not come out on the surface.
Okay, thank you. And if I just respectfully request, if it's possible, plan goes forward, if the board grants the variances, if it's possible, I request that we keep in touch and I'd be afforded the opportunity to review these plans and maybe even discuss it with you guys.
Yeah. As far as ourselves, and I think the Holland Bush, I would be open to that that suggestion. Absolutely.
Certainly. Okay. Thank you. Then certainly I'll wait for the next phase then.
Any final questions from any board members? Okay. Hearing none, then we'll conclude this hearing, and I'll just advise you that the board has 45 days to render a decision, and 30 days after that to appeal it if you're agreed by that decision. So thank you for testifying and providing the information tonight.
Thank you. Thank you for your patience.
Okay. We don't have any scheduled new business tonight. Is there any other business from any of the board members? Otherwise, if not, I'll make a motion to adjourn to executive session for deliberation.
So moved, Lindsay Drew.
Thank you.
Second, Lindsay. Sandy Ballard.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, this meeting is adjourned, and we'll turn to deliberation and executive session. Thank you.